You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
I am the crime weaver, Tyler.
Oops.
Damn it, Courtney.
While you were talking, some kind of bell went off in my head. Like, hold on.
Wait a second.
Hold on. What do I do here?
What's my job?
I don't know.
You got a bunch of them last week.
Yeah, I did, but now I have to find them.
Yeah, you gotta scroll up through a lot of dog pictures.
Dog pictures.
Which is a bonus to this.
This is a kind of just a way to promote the Discord channel. Oh, there's some artwork somebody posted.
Ooh.
Wow, look at that. This was a good conversation. Some more artwork.
So many jokes.
Look at these salient points.
Oof. Just so many good times I'm scrolling past while trying to find this.
So many good doggos.
This bit.
The occasional cricket when I remember to share photos of her.
Maybe you'll find love.
You never know.
A secret Valentine.
I'm Gordy. I'm the ambassador of assassins. Thank you, mostly Robert, on Discord. He has been playing too much Assassin's Creed.
Also, thank you, mostly Robert, for upping that pledge.
The ambassador.
Yeah, and thank you. This is seriously like 30 minutes old.
Jen, I believe, is the...
Discord, yeah. On JRS55. I don't know how to say that name.
Yeah, Jen.
Jen?
Yeah, Jen is the name of that patron.
How are you getting Jen out of JRS number 5 IVE?
Because of the Patreon page.
Because you looked on Patreon?
No, I looked at her email.
Well, that too. Thank you. thank you, Jen. This is what we will have your stuff sorted out, but yeah, we just learned of your existence.
But we're pleased to know that you are existent.
Yeah. Do say hi in Discord, everybody. Anyway, yeah, that's me.
Cool. Well, what do we do on this show?
We're going to take about 55 minutes of your life and you can't get it back.
Okay. That's most podcasts. What's
yum,
special
yum,
about,
yum. We're just
about
chew
this
it
life siphon?
And also my life and all and our lives. So it's, you know, we're just going to waste everybody's time.
It's a 55-minute suicide pact.
Wow. Carmen. Heading into year 3 and Gordy is just burned out on this.
Carmen is going to read a strange fairy tale to Tyler and I, one that, in theory, we've never heard before.
Have you heard it?
Not this one.
I haven't heard it.
As far as I know.
You don't even know what it is.
You told me.
I told you.
Yeah. Lieutenant Dan's Fists of Fury.
Yep.
Pretty close.
It's the Forrest Gump shoot-off mythology project.
I mean, it was...
Tabletop.
Forrest Gump.
From the tabletop source book. Getting into some Forrest Gump... elder lore in this episode.
Can we use Genesis to do a Forrest Gump game?
Yeah, you could do whatever you want. Yeah, we're going to try to unpack a fairy tale. We're going to try to make it make some sense in a modern understanding. We're going to fix some plot holes.
By fix, we mostly mean complain about.
Or extrapolate.
All right, well, today we are going to Denmark, where something is rotten, and that something is a story suggested by Rebecca Kirk, which is The Princess in the Chest.
They say something's rotten there, but it seems really nice.
It does seem pretty nice. I'm sure there's at least one rotten thing in Denmark, though.
I think it's the fish that they eat.
Probably.
Isn't that where they eat, like, the... I mean, Iceland does do rotten fish. I think Denmark also does, like, a pickled something. Herring, maybe.
There's
we'll
nothing
find
you
out.
Can not
is there anywhere up? On the planet that you could say that about and it wouldn't be true? Like
there's
a called shot?
Yeah, there's something rotten there.
Yeah.
Antarctica.
I think there's something rotten there.
No, nah, it's all
dead
frozen.
Penguins.
Like a carcass.
No, it's
dead
all,
penguins.
It's all like deep freeze.
I know we don't like to
everything
think about
in
it.
Antarctica has been cryogenically frozen. And when the polar ice caps melt, all of these ancient animals will come back to life.
There's like a dozen Captain Americas up there.
Oh, yeah. Down there.
Stuck
Antarctica
in the ice.
Is the bottom
well,
one.
If you go up, you'll eventually hit it.
If you subscribe to the theory that the Earth is round, like NASA wants
like,
you to.
Like fools.
For reasons.
Okay, what are we doing?
This Denmark story. All right, let's go.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, you're done introducing things. I'm telling the story now. You're scrolling on your phone. The Princess in the Chest. as per the usual start of a fairy tale, we've got a king and a queen, and they've got a beautiful castle and kick-ass land to rule over, and everything's great, and they love each other very much, but they do have one problem.
They hate all their children.
They have none children.
And they hate it.
They do hate that.
And they're getting...
their invisible children.
Children are getting very expensive, too.
About 7 years of marriage with no kids had them kind of cranky, and more than once the king got in a bad temper and he would yell at the queen that they were getting old and they had no heir and this is all her fault. And,
about how often?
More than once.
Okay.
The king's clock is ticking.
Yes.
His biological clock.
Yeah.
For an heir.
He needs to birth an heir. This is, of course, hard for her to listen to, so she'd go off and cry on her own whenever this happened.
Listen, I'm getting old. Wars are getting harder for me to do.
I need to pew-pew out a kid. And post-haste, and this is obviously your failing.
So that I'll live forever!
Yeah, so we got a real healthy marriage. They do love each other so much, though.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the yelling.
Finally, the king said,
And the stress of governance.
Yeah, I can't bear this anymore. I go about childless, and it's all your fault, so I'm going on a journey for a year.
Which will help, because maybe he'll find one along the way.
Yeah.
He's going to have an affair. He has 3 months to find a suitable, willing partner, and then 9 months to crank out a kid before he returns.
Is this the prequel to Aragorn?
Aragorn?
Yeah.
Like Aragorn of Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
So this is so you're saying this around. Is Arathorn, his father?
No, this is Aragorn.
Oh.
Yeah, this is why we found him wandering in...
Because he
said, I'm going on a journey for a year.
So when he met Frodo, he was looking for...
Come with me, friend.
He was looking for someone to pump a kid into, or he was looking for a hobbit to disguise as one. He's like, you'll do.
You're
come with
enough.
Me.
Make sure you never grow a beard.
Elijah Wood doesn't do that.
All right, so... he does lay the onus on the queen that if she has a kid when he comes back again, everything's fine. I will love you beyond all measure, and I will say no more angry words to you.
Like, after he comes back, or by the time he's back?
By the time he's back.
If she has a kid?
Yeah, he's leaving for a year. She has a year to somehow produce a child.
She has a year to commit adultery.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, which was what he's telling her.
She's got a hall pass.
I mean, I guess...
Like that hit film, Hall Pass.
Hall Pass? What's it about?
I think
about?
That's what it was called.
High school rules?
It's about husbands who get to fuck someone that's not their wife, and it's very funny.
Sounds delightful.
Yeah, it sounds hilarious. Is Seth Rogen in it?
No, Jason Sudeikis.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah.
The thin man's Seth Rogen.
Who directs this? Who wrote this movie?
I don't know.
Is Judd Apatow...
Maybe.
Related to
it. I think he
it.
Was sniffing around the set.
I feel like I got a whiff of Judd Apatow when he said that name.
He was lurking.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Which words are the angry words?
What now?
I have no kids and it's all your fault. Those
but
ones.
Only those.
I guess so. Those
in that order?
Those are the ones that
That's
matter.
The combo.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, man. This movie's from... I remember this movie. I didn't see it, but...
Anyway, if the nest is still empty when I get home, we're done. Relationship over.
This is maybe the whitest cast I've ever seen.
I'm guessing that the king doesn't know how kids do.
Apparently not, which might be their problem.
Because he's kind of an important aspect. I guess not. Maybe he is the problem.
The king?
Yeah.
I mean, he could be firing blanks.
Yeah.
That's true. But
I don't know if they know about that yet.
Kings?
In men?
Certainly not in kings.
When did they figure out that infertility can be on either side?
Fairly recently, I think, because no one wanted to admit it, and it's still considered a lady's issue, mostly.
Yeah.
Especially not a king.
Yeah, no, the king only has the healthiest sperms, and all the inbreeding did not do anything to damage
just
that.
Just slow that process.
Yeah, they're the swollest sperms that ever a man has fired. All of them have little crowns on them.
It's a god seed.
Gross. Owen Wilson is also in this movie.
Yeah, that makes sense. His apparent lack of understanding of how this process works might go a long way toward explaining why they don't have an heir.
Any sign of Luke Wilson?
No, I think they left him out of that one.
That's a shame.
Poor Luke Wilson, huh? What has he been in apart from kind of Anchorman?
Idiocracy.
I know you guys and really that. Wanted to talk about Hall Pass, but we got a long story ahead of us.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Why are they all long now? Why are they all
the,
like
that's
this?
That's what the listeners have said.
Yeah,
they
evidently
wanted.
That's what they want to hear.
Listeners, if you want more information about movies like Hall Pass, give us a short one so we have some time to kill.
So he left. She was all sorrowful and whiny, and a maid told her about a wise woman who could help her. So the queen sent for the wise woman and then told her about all her issues when she showed up.
I'll give a parting thought. It is a little bit baffling what New Line Cinemas is willing to produce.
Is yeah, it?
There's not a lot of through line there.
Is it not?
It is not.
Why? Why is it not?
Well, what is their mark of quality that would make you like
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Those three great Lord of the Rings movies?
Lord of the Rings and Hall Pass.
And,
not a lot of through line there.
And the first Dungeons & Dragons movie literally the year before Fellowship of the Ring came out.
New Line
Hard
Cinema.
Hard swings.
Whatever, we'll take it.
Was that their only good movie? I gotta find this out, then I'm gonna put it away. Then I'm done.
Okay.
What's this king doing?
Oh, the king's gone on his sabbatical.
All right, he's doing Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he's Aragorning it out in Bree.
He's at least kind of living out that fantasy.
Surrounding himself in air-sized humans. The wise woman says that the queen needs to go to the king's garden, and there she'll find a great oak, and underneath the oak, which is on the left of the garden,
a child.
You'll find a bush with hairy leaves.
Ew.
And long spikes.
Ew.
And it's got three buds on it. Go there alone, fast before you go. Go before sunrise and eat the bud in the middle.
If you find a bush with hair on it, don't eat it.
If you do that, in 6 months, you'll have a princess.
Well, we don't want one
what
of those.
What if you want a prince that can actually inherit?
No go. As you get fodder for other princes to come in. As soon as she's born, I'll provide a nurse, and the nurse must live with her in a secluded part of the palace, and no one else can visit her. And neither you nor the king can see her until she is 14 years old, or you'll bring great sorrow and misfortune down upon us.
How long after the king left did this information come up?
I think probably within a week of her, like, sobbing in her bedroom and her maid being like, oh, God, come on. All right, I got a lady who can fix your issues.
She didn't do any, like, comparison shopping?
Not
because this deal fucking sucks, and she's still got a lot of time to sort it out.
The who now?
The queen.
The eat a hairy bush bud.
Yeah.
Deal.
Like, you don't just take the first deal that you get. You look around for better deals.
Not according to the art of the deal.
You just take the first one?
You just take whatever deal Chuck Schumer walks into your office. Anyway, topical. We should have talked about the State of the Union.
It's not even on yet.
Well, it's okay. We can make it up.
We can do our own State of the Union address. Status? Not great.
Ugh.
Okay, so the queen rewarded her greatly for the advice and then followed it exactly. And she had her speed pregnancy of 6 months and popped out a princess. The nurse showed up as promised, and they took the kid to a secluded wing of the castle with a view of the pleasure garden so that she'd have something nice to look at. Eventually, the king came home, and he was very pleased to know that he had a secret daughter now. Which
yeah,
sounds like a
secret
good ruse
daughter?
That you could do. They're not allowed to see her.
They?
The king and queen are not allowed to see her until she's 14 years old.
Yes, but is she a secret, or are they just not allowed to see her? Like, can people know about her?
They can know about her. They just
okay.
can't. No one can go see her except
okay.
for the nurse.
This feels like it, like it solves the letter of the law problem, not necessarily the spirit of it. Like, we have a kid. We won't see this kid for 14 more years.
She's in that room. Don't bother looking.
Also, there's a cat in there.
If this wasn't a fairy tale, and if there wasn't actually a hairy leaf spiky bush that produced 6 month babies, this would be a really good ruse, assuming you could pull it off. Like, yeah, we have a kid. She's in that door. You can't look at her. And then you've got 14 years to find someone who can just pretend to be your kid.
Yeah, like if the king acts on good faith and just ignores this kid for 14 years, then you just hire an actor.
Yeah.
One's the wiser.
Spend that year off in the village getting to know some of the village people and then find one you like and like, hey, how'd you like to be an heir?
What's Lindsay Lohan doing? She could use the work.
Anyway.
Is that your child actor reference?
It was one. One of a handful. It's the one that I picked.
Yeah, Haley Joel Osment.
As the princess.
You get nothing more recent. Lindsay Lohan has not been a child actress for a long time.
The Olsen twins. That way they can spell each other out.
They can what?
Spell each other out.
Spell each other out?
Yeah, give each other a break.
What does spell each other out mean?
You spell someone out. You give them a break. You step in.
Why are you saying spell in this phrase?
It's a colloquialism. Is it? You never heard that before?
No.
I have not. I'm going to take your word for it, though.
I'll take your word for it.
It sounds fine.
Spell seems like a weird choice of words.
You rest for a spell.
Sure. Yeah, I guess. But isn't that because of curses? You rest for a spell because it's a curse and you don't have a choice?
It's a good old Sleeping Beauty phrase.
Didn't curses do tired? I was under the impression that curses do tired.
It used to be the only way.
That's the problem with everyone between the ages of 14 and 87. It's a tired curse. Except for the morning people. I don't get
that. It's the morning people.
Is that why I'm tired? Because I swear so much.
I think you're cursing yourself to sleepiness.
I did as you all know, the Global Game Jam this weekend on GSU's campus, Georgia State University. And a lot of my team members were GSU students. Mm-hmm. And I was definitely the only one there before 11 o'clock.
It was that college student vitality.
Yeah, it's you kids don't know anything yet. You're you're so young. You can stay up until 4 in the morning working. Ugh.
Anyway, the king is pleased to have a child that is sequestered, and he wants to see her at once. But the queen warned him about the prophecy, and they were like, "Well, it's a pretty rough waiting period. But as the nurse has been telling us, the child is definitely not like other children, and could speak immediately after it was born, and was as wise as the older folk." And also, they kept referring to the princess as an it throughout this whole thing, so that was real cool. So they knew that something special was going on here, and that this whole 14-year thing might not be total bullshit. The king often lost his patience and would try to go see his daughter, frequently throughout this 14 years, but the queen always managed to forestall him until the day before her 14th birthday.
Fucking come on.
The king and queen were out in the garden just strolling about, and the king says, "I can't and I won't wait any longer. I must see her. A few hours more or less can't make any difference."
Kill this man dead.
Wait, what? It's like dropping out on your last day of high school.
Yeah.
It's dropping out of the last hour.
Yeah, just stick it out.
He waited 14 years.
You sat through the graduation. Your name started with a V. You got to the...
They were handing you the diploma T's. And you said, "I quit."
ugh. Do I really? Nah, I don't
you
think so.
You spit on it instead.
I don't want to wait through the B's and the C's and all those people.
The queen begged that he have patience because they could also wait those few hours until the actual day of her birthday. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a difference on whatever this curse thing is. It's not going to make a difference to you after almost 14 years.
What if it's a bomb?
The curse?
Yeah. The baby. The kid
That's
was
not
just
a baby.
Bomb.
It's a 14-year-old baby.
It was a baby, and then it became a 14-year-old bomb. but he was unreasonable, and his response to her is, "She's just as much mine as yours, and I will see her." And then he went straight up to her
room.
She's
not at all yours.
Yeah, you were gone.
You have no ownership.
This is the daughter of a hairy bush and the queen.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Your wife got down on a bush while you were gone.
That brings up, doesn't that call the legitimacy of the heir into question?
I feel like a king could do whatever they want, though.
Yeah, no, he just wanted a kid slotted into heir of space.
I guess kings have the power to designate an heir, right? But there, it depends when and where this is, but there are some pretty, some pretty hard and fast rules for succession. And I think that, if the queen had gone off and had a baby with another person.
A stud.
Or a bush, or whatever. That baby can't inherit if there's somebody with a better, a more direct claim.
Yeah, but there's no one, so...
literally nobody. No so brothers or anything.
This bastard bomb is the heir.
The bush crawls in and says, "I object."
This bastard bush bomb.
There's no brother to the king?
I don't believe so. I think they're all alone. Anyway, He burst the door open to her room, pushed aside the nurse who tried to stop him, and saw his daughter for the first time. She was, of course, the loveliest princess.
Red, and a banshee.
Red and white like milk and blood.
Ew.
Which is, I don't know why so many times this is seen as hot.
Which parts?
They do not specify.
If
she could
a woman
just be spotted.
If a woman described herself to me as milky
and bloody,
I'm milky and bloody. I do not think I would. I think I would call an ambulance.
She had
maybe
beautiful red skin like blood and milky white eyes,
white eyes and hair,
and a whip like tail,
and a snout,
and spikes and hair
some,
from the bush side.
Some kind of reverse albino rat. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a reverse albino. Is she an albino?
No. She's,
you sure?
Well, I mean, if she's white like milk, then maybe. But the red like blood.
Eyes. Albinos have red eyes.
They have pinkish eyes.
But it's close enough.
Maybe pink she's like got blood. Like really deep red eyes.
Deep red eyes. And a red stripe down her back. For whatever reason.
Just a racing stripe.
She makes her go faster. She's going to be the fastest princess who ever lived. She comes with a built-in flame decal, basically.
She had clear blue eyes and golden hair. So apparently her skin is like milk and blood. I'm guessing like her lips are super red.
It's a weird thing to focus in on.
Or she has a huge birthmark.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, we've seen so many queens who are like, this blood on the snow reminds me of the daughter I wish I had.
Maybe she just has a mouth that's agape and very red. No teeth.
I
just yawning into the universe.
Blood on the snow is basically a Rorschach test. And if you get child from that, I don't know what that means about you.
You are a royalty. And you need to go back to your playpen under supervision. Because you cannot be out in the wild. You make bad decisions out there.
What did this king get up to? Do we know?
Aragorn.
Lord of the Rings.
Just yeah, walking.
He just did all of Lord of the Rings.
He lorded the rings.
He's just on a walkabout. Okay, let's assume this is Aragorn.
He's Cimmerillion.
The only weird thing about her appearance, aside from the white and red thing, is right in the middle of her forehead was a little tuft of brown hair.
Middle of her forehead?
Yeah.
But she has golden hair.
She's got a top beard.
She's got gold.
Except for kind of a forehead
beard.
Goatee.
It's a soul patch.
Oh.
Is it just a monobrow and he doesn't know what that is?
Maybe. The princess runs to meet her father and kisses him on the neck, but then also cries at him. Oh, what have you done? Tomorrow I must die and you must choose one of three things. One, the land will be smitten with a black pestilence. Two, you must have a long and bloody war. Or three, as soon as I am dead, you must lay me in a plain wooden chest, put that in the church, and then place a sentinel beside it every night for a whole year.
That one mysterious woman I've never met.
The king.
But she will be dead for this.
Yes.
Okay.
The king is frightened and thought that she was raving, but to placate her, he said, yeah, the last one sounds pretty good. But I don't believe you will die tomorrow, even if you are ill now. Then he immediately summoned all of the best doctors in the land, who all came with their prescriptions and medicine bottles, but the next day the princess was indeed cold in death.
I don't know why, but the mental image I had was of like a mediocre doctor looking out the window and seeing like a precision of doctors that he was not invited to be in, and just very sad.
Oh.
He just turns the sign on his door to closed.
I'm going to imagine that every time we get one of these.
The best of.
The best of.
Well, the reviews are in, Nate.
You might as well close up your practice.
He didn't make the cut. Yeah, he's not quite good enough to take care of the king's freakish daughter.
Yeah, Nate is the urgent care of the village.
Nate is the resident who's holding down the fort.
Anyway, the king kept his promise to her, and the first morning the sentinel that they'd placed by her casket or her chest had vanished. The king thought that maybe he'd taken fright and run away in the middle of the night, so he posted a new one, and in the morning that one was gone too. Every night this happened, and none of them was ever heard from or seen again. No idea what no corpse or anything. So the general belief was that the princess's ghost was walking around and that those who were to guard her chest were just being frightened off by that.
Or not, like, eaten or having ghost stuff done to them.
They're not sure, but soon there was no one left who was willing to be placed on duty. And the king's soldiers all deserted the army so that they couldn't be put on bodyguard duty as part of their soldierly existence.
How much longer is left on the clock?
I think this is like maybe a month or two in.
So a while.
Yeah. Like how many days in a row of people vanishing when put to this job do you think you got before people start deserting
armies? Depends on how
big
the kingdom is, I guess.
Yeah. So the king started promising a large reward for anyone who would stand sentinel. And this worked for a while until everyone realized that they would never get this reward because of that vanishing problem.
It's a good scheme,
though. It's a pretty good trick.
Yeah.
That bought him a couple of days.
They got through most of a full year of sentinels being placed either by compulsion or free will, and all of them vanished. One day, a merry young smith named Christian came to town looking for work. He entered a local inn and got some food, and some under-officers were out at the inn trying to get a sentry hired for that night, with no luck because everyone knew what happened to the sentinels.
Seems like a good way to execute people.
Yeah.
If you got people on death row, you might as well make them do this.
Yeah, clear out your cells for a bit. Save on the hangman's rope.
Also, is this Smith our main character?
He's now.
Okay.
What's his name?
Christian.
He's the main character.
Oh, I thought he was one.
Probably also that.
He's the main character who is just now coming onto the scene.
Yes, so that was backstory.
Yeah, okay.
So the under officer sat beside Christian, drank with him, and he got extra drunk and extra merry and bragged that he was one of those folk who are never afraid of anything. And they say, well, have we got the job for you? It pays $100. Christian stuck to his not afraid of anything guns, so they drank another bottle of wine to seal the deal, and he got a uniform and a musket, and then was shut up in the church for the night. A
uniform?
Yeah. You gotta be an official sentinel.
It's a bright red shirt.
Hides the blood.
Also, Star Trek.
That too. It was 8 o'clock when he took up his post, and the first hour went by well, and he was all proud of himself for being brave and hanging out by this wood box.
He's never worked a job before, right?
He's been a smith, but apparently not a good enough smith.
Not for
to,
longer
like,
than an hour at a
keep,
time.
Keep a job going since he was in town looking for work. But by hour three, he was pretty sober and beginning to get uncomfortable because he had, in fact, heard about this post and what happened to the people who took it. So he started looking around for a way to escape. He found a little postern in the steeple that wasn't locked, and he crept out of it to run away. But the moment he stepped a foot outside the church door, he saw a little man standing before him. And the man says, "Good evening, Christian. Where are you going?"
A little man.
Yes.
That's all we get?
That's all we get.
A leprechaun.
Or a yellow dwarf or something.
A Frodo?
Who's come hunting down Aragorn?
Is it Frodo?
Is it a Samwise? A Merry Pippin?
A fool of a Took at the door.
A fool of a Took shows up.
Christian felt rooted to the spot at this question. He couldn't move and he says, nowhere. The little man says, "Oh yes, you were just about to run away, but you have taken on the task to stand sentinel in the church, and there you must stay." Christian said humbly that he dared not, and he wanted to get away, and the little man says, "No, but I'll give you some good advice. Go into the pulpit and remain there. Don't mind what you see or hear, as it won't be able to do any harm if you remain in your place until you hear the lid of the chest slam down behind the dead. Then all the danger will be past, and you can go about the church wherever you please." Then the little man shoved him back inside and locked the door behind him.
Cool.
Christian then runs for the pulpit and hangs out there. The clock strikes 12, the lid of the chest springs up, and out of it came something like the princess, which shrieked and howled, "Sentry, where are you? Sentry, where are you? If you don't come out, you shall get the most cruel death anyone had ever got." It went around the church and caught sight of the smith and came rushing toward it, but it could not get the whole way to the pulpit and could not touch him. So it just like hung out there for the remainder of its time, shrieking and clawing in his direction.
So it's kind of like when you bait a Dark Souls boss to a doorway it can't go through.
Yeah.
It just keeps walking against an invisible wall.
And you just sit there and hit it until it dies.
When the clock struck one, the thing had to go back into the chest again. The lid slammed down after it, and all was silent. Christian fell asleep, And then he woke up in the morning when he heard the key in the lock and came down from the pulpit to stand next to the chest where, you know, he's supposed to be. The colonel came himself and was surprised to see a live one still in the church. He couldn't get a report from Christian, so he took him to the king, who paid the $100 that was promised and wanted to question him. The smith just said, "I stood my post and undertook nothing more." He was both unsure that it would be wise to say what he'd seen, and also he was feeling a little bit full of himself for doing what no one else had done before. The king asks if he'll stand guard again. He's like, nah, dude.
Once is good, friend.
I'm good. And then the king invites him to breakfast, where he cleverly gives him alcohol continually.
Ooh, found his weakness.
So the king has gotten our smith drunk as a skunk, and the smith, now toasted enough to be very bold, says, I'll do it again. I'll do it again a night for $200.
I'll stay for 50 days.
And the king's like, yeah, I like budgeted $100 a night, and I haven't had to pay it for most of a year, so sure. $200 it is. So Christian went to the town and got even drunker off the $100 he'd already earned and acted the hero and everything. Then at 8 o'clock, he is shoved back into the church, and after about 2 hours, he starts sobering up and does not want to deal with this, and he tries to slip out the back door when the little man shows up again to yell at him exactly as before.
We've been over this.
But today he tells him to go to the altar and pick up the book lying there and then stay there until the lid of the chest slams down.
So the trick changes every day.
Yeah.
I was going to say, once you know the trick, I feel like it's an easy job.
Yeah, you just sit there and like fold your arms and stare down the shrieking corpse demon.
For 1 hour,
bring
though.
Bring some podcasts with you.
He said, you have to stay there all night, but only for 1 hour do you have to put up with a screaming demon. Which is like,
it's not too bad.
All in all, like if you definitely have your safe zone, as long as it doesn't learn what you're doing, great, yeah. Bring some podcasts, you can take a nap, catch up on TV shows.
So he shoves Christian.
Work on your Forrest Gump character sheet.
Inside again.
Maybe develop a storyline for your.
And locks the door.
For your Gump lore RPG.
Christian goes back to the spot, follows his advice. Corpse comes up again. She runs to the pulpit first. That's a good thing he did not follow the advice from yesterday, because she goes straight there. Does not find him there, and so she starts howling and shrieking.
Damn it!
My father has sent no sentry in. War and pest this night begin.
What?
She's...
War and what?
Pest.
Pestilence?
The two things.
Yeah, pestilence and... Yeah, but we gotta keep that, like, rhythm going for the beat poetry that she's performing.
So wait, is he not actually there?
He's not in the pulpit, which is where he was yesterday. So she's rushed there first. He's not there, so she has now thrown a tantrum.
Well, maybe look somewhere else first.
Well, then it does turn around and see the smith and rushes.
Oh, there he is. Never mind.
But couldn't get to him. He does notice that the thing is less ugly this night than it was before.
Okay.
Ooh.
So he's still a little drunk.
Looking at it through some wine goggles.
That thing doesn't look that bad.
Glug, glug, glug. I mean, just stay drunk. Like, why get day drunk?
You have 200 money.
And a night sober. Like,
that's so many booze.
Yeah, you should be good after this night.
Especially in fairy tale dollars.
I would be tempted to go in to, like, to double dip.
Yeah.
On a second night, right?
Yeah.
Believing, like, I had found a trick that works.
Yeah.
After seeing that this thing can, like, learn where you hide and will, like, seek that out,
mm-hmm.
I think I would call it good after the second night.
Sure, but you've also developed another pattern, which is, like, the fucking strategy guide, Little Man, who just, like, if you go outside, he tells you what to do.
Hey, yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, but it seems like, how many times is that going to work?
I think every single night.
Does it really? Like, if he doesn't show up once.
Can you, like, stick your head out and be like, yo, what's the trick tonight?
How did nobody else find this?
I don't know.
Like, nobody else tried to leave? They just sat there with the demon?
Nobody else was destined to speak to a little man.
Maybe not. I don't know. Frodo Baggins was only in town a couple nights.
Yeah, he's got a lot.
For part of the year.
His legs are a lot shorter than Aragorn, so it took him a while to track him. Okay, so same deal happens in the morning. He gets drunk at the king's breakfast once again and slurs that he'll do it for half the kingdom this time.
It's a harder bargain.
Yeah, and the king is kind of forced to agree because it's that's like the last night of the year bargain, and there's no one else who's going to do this. So he's like, well, frig, I'm not using the south of my kingdom anyway.
I feel like there was a lot of time where like he wasn't holding up his end, though.
I think he managed to like coerce people at least
every
once
single
a night.
Night.
Yeah, like
so, like somebody did go in every night.
Yeah, Russell.
Did he ever cheat and just like put dogs in there?
did it specify a human sentry?
He put like one of the dummies out in the knights training fields.
Does it have to be?
Did she say
be...
like soldiers or knights or something? Because he could just be knighting dogs out in the alleys.
Scarecrows release a bird and like just a pigeon in there one night.
Sir Scuffles, you are the sentry for tonight.
Do what Sir Patch could not.
I had no faith in him. But you, Sir Scuffles.
My finest pigeon. My bravest pigeon.
You are my second.
If anything should
my right
happen,
hand.
If anything should happen to my demon daughter, Sir Scuffles, you are next in line for the throne.
You are my grand vizier, Sir Scuffles.
The Pigeon King sounds like the good title of a movie.
Oh, man, I want to see a really serious poster of that.
The Pigeon King?
Yeah, it's like all dark and shades of blue.
Pigeon's going to be voiced by Colin Firth.
Yeah, but it's otherwise presented as a super... It's shot but as it's, a super cinematic serious movie.
But it is just kind of like British coos.
Yeah, I was going to say, also it doesn't speak English.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, they hired Alan Tudyk to make chicken noises.
True.
Yeah, so why not Colin Firth to be King Pigeon? We should whip that poster up. Okay, so 8 o'clock, he's back at the church. It only takes him an hour to get bored and sober this time. So he looks around and finds a window that he can get out of. So it's 9 p.m., he's crawling out of a window, and he manages to get to the ground with no bones broken in spite of the great height of the window.
Did he leave?
Yeah, he's out.
The last night?
And he starts running.
Oh.
And it gets to shore. Finds a boat, gets in it, and pushes off. He laughs to himself about how he's cheated the little man when he hears from the shore, "Good evening, Christian."
What do you mean he's cheated the little man?
Yeah, he's gone around him.
What's your beef with the little man?
Yeah, why is that cheating him?
That's what the story said.
I know, but that doesn't make sense to me.
Like he's tricked his way around him.
Was it okay? Yeah, I mean, I guess.
By leaving at 9 instead of later.
You tricked him by okay, sure.
Good evening, Christian. Where are you going? Christian deigns not to answer and thinks to himself silently, "Tonight your legs will be too short." Ha 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 ha. As he pulls at the oars. But then he feels something lay hold of his boat and drag it to shore. Then the little man grabs hold of him and says, "You must remain at your post as promised," and then drags him all the way back to the church. Christian looks up at the window and says, "There is no way I'm getting in there again. It is way too high off the ground." "You must and you shall," said the man, and then held him up to the windowsill.
What? Like he didn't throw him?
It says he lifts him up to the windowsill.
But he's short.
Yeah. Does he... But he also has apparently like a magic hand.
Is he going to get like the pro strats for the night?
The pro strats for tonight are that he is to lay on the left side of the chest. The lid of the chest opens to the right and she comes out of the left. When she has passed over you, because she won't look down, she'll just like,
yeah,
out.
Sure.
You need to get in the chest in a hurry without her seeing you.
Ooh, it's a tricky one.
Then you need to stay there until the day dawns, and no matter how she threatens or entreats you, you can't come out of it or answer her. Then she'll
just
have
go to sleep.
She'll have no power over you, and you'll both be freed.
Go to sleep.
Sounds great, tiny man.
Thanks, Frodo.
The smith does this. The corpse gets up and prowls the church, going to the previous two hiding places first and threatening war and pestilence at each one when he's not there. And then she sighs and weeps as she walks around the church and continues to shout about war and pestilence. Then the clock strikes 1, and the church fills with music. He hears a multitude of footsteps as though people were walking into the church, and then he heard a priest go through a service in front of the altar, offering a prayer of thanksgiving because the land was freed from war and pestilence, and the king's daughter was delivered from the evil one. Everyone sings a hymn, and then Christian hears his own name said by the priest, and it sounded like he was being wedded to the princess. Then he hears people leaving the church and the music fading.
Shouldn't he agree to that first?
No, he's supposed to stay in a chest.
I mean, if they're going to wed them, he does have to sign something.
When all was silent again, daylight began to break through the windows, so he got up. He sees the princess in front of the altar, white and red like a human being.
Like humans are, white and red.
Just like we like them.
Like a human being or a lighthouse.
A candy cane, maybe. QT drinking cup or the QT logo. That book over there.
A really good donut.
That cup is red.
But she's sobbing and she's crying and shaking with cold in her little white shroud. So he took his sentry coat off and wrapped it around her. She thanked him and said she was now free from the sorcery that had been in her from birth, which had come over her again when her father broke the command. She also asked if he wanted to get married. And if he didn't want to get married, that's cool. I'll just go to a nunnery because we've been wedded with the service of the dead, which was the thing you overheard.
Okay.
So like, we're already dead married.
Do you want to might as well be living married, too.
If you don't want to marry me now, it's cool. I'll catch you on the flip. We will be wed then.
I will hang out in a nunnery until we return to the wedding from whence we came.
To the wedding from whence we came.
He figures, all right, yeah, she's pretty hot, and I already own half the kingdom now, so why not? The watch came to open the church. The colonel and the king were there, and the king is very happy to see his daughter as not a corpse demon. And he was also pretty thrilled about the wedding. So they have a wedding, and Christian got half the kingdom at once and the whole of the kingdom when the king died. As for the other sentries, with so many doors and windows open, no doubt they'd run away and gone into the Prussian service.
This king is a one-testimonial kind of guy, huh?
As for what Christian said he saw, he'd been drinking more wine than was good for him. The end. And it was all a dream.
Are they implying that the entire thing was a drunken hallucination? Or did he just make up the little man?
I don't know. I mean, there seems to be a lot of implication that it's not a drunken hallucination. Because was corpse is not corpse now. Stuff happened in between.
Right, like he is king, right?
Yeah, he is.
Like, drunk or not, he is king. So some of it definitely did happen.
Yeah, well, maybe like pretending he was drunk as a skunk when this woman he's now, like, when he has to remember the woman that he is now married to.
Yeah.
As a shrieking she-demon.
Yeah.
Attempting to kill him, like, during the marital spats that pop up all the time.
Yeah.
Between two humans that live with each other for too long. He's got a, like, flashback. Like, that'd be a very specific PTSD. So she, like, yells at him about leaving the toilet seat up. And he flashes back to when she was a corpse trying to kill him in a church.
Yeah, or, you know, she has a nightmare and wakes up screaming.
Yeah, or she just mutters war and pest.
Under her breath.
Yeah.
And just like, walking around the house.
That's a pretty good, like, muttering to yourself when you're just generally perturbed.
You've been stubbing your toe a lot. You should try it out.
Yeah, when I do that next night, I'll just shout war and pest.
What was the relevance of the tuft of hair?
That is a good question.
It's just a costuming detail, I guess.
Maybe it was just to present that she was not like a 100% normal princess.
It's like Rogue's Forelock from X-Men.
No, she's like a hairlicorn.
I was gonna say it is kind of like a unicorn-esque tuft of hair. Sticking out the front.
That is exactly how I was imagining it when I was writing the notes. Like, or she's a hair unicorn.
Or maybe she just has like some very thick forehead bristles.
I imagined it like alfalfa.
Like a boar.
like a boar. Alfalfa.
Yeah, but like out front.
Yeah. Would other people pick that up as a fashion statement?
Like the queen is doing it, so
yeah.
We
the
are.
Queen. The queen has an off-color bit of hair.
You mean
the
fairy
front.
People or people in our world?
Whoever. Historically, yes.
I mean, we did do Flock of Seagulls for a while.
We did
as a human race.
Yeah. Traditionally, I guess people do sort of follow.
What does royalty think is cool?
Yeah. What does the royal family do? Or the royals in general.
I hear it's the tightest shit to be a corpse and shriek like a banshee at night.
And all the women want to do it.
Like all night, just shrieking war and pest from every bedroom in the kingdom.
It's all the rage now.
She introduces an interesting aspect of her existence at the end there.
That she's pure evil?
That
she is born of evil? Sorcery?
Yeah, she's born of sorcery.
I mean, we knew that. Right?
Because 6-month bush baby.
Right.
Who is this wise woman who suggested it?
The bush thing?
Yeah, what's her game?
Who's the little man, and what's his stake in all this?
Do you think they are the yellow dwarf?
And the hoozy?
The harpy.
The hoozy, what's it, lady? Fairy.
The desert witch?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, like, I'm thinking fairy for wise woman. Like, I think that's very clearly a fairy action.
How green was she?
I mean, they don't really describe her. She just shows up and gives very specific advice in the same fashion that a fairy would.
Did she stand in one place and not move?
What do you mean?
No.
I'm just guessing that she was like a human-shaped puppet of the plant that it spoke through.
Like the bush needed a wingman?
Well, the bush needed a vessel to put its evil in.
So it could seduce a human woman into eating its balls or something?
Well, I'm going back to the tuft of hair, and yeah. I think that there is like an evil potato in her forehead.
It's some evil flowering plant. Growing out of the middle of her forehead. I mean, it makes sense, mostly, right?
Does it?
Kinda. Like, it's reasonably coherent as they go.
Okay, yeah, like, the pacing of the plot makes sense. The details out of which the plot is constructed. It's like seeing a beautifully constructed building, and then you get closer and it's made of gum wrappers.
Yeah, there are some things that are weird, but like generally, broad strokes, it's fine,
we
right?
We didn't have too many twists and turns. We had patterns that it followed.
Yeah, it finished what it set up.
The queen kind of vanished.
The queen didn't matter anymore. She'd done her duty.
She had a baby. She failed to keep the king in line. She was no longer relevant to the story. Do you think the king just killed her?
No. I think, like, her behavior didn't change in the story. I think, like, she just faded into the nothing.
So, like, she was there at the wedding, but she wasn't, like, a guest of honor. She just was in the back somewhere.
Just slamming pigs in blankets.
and, like, she's still in the palace while he's ruling it, like, while Christian is king. She's
like queens
just,
do.
Yeah, she's still just like wandering around, increasingly senile, and no one knows who she is anymore, including her daughter. Because her daughter never met her mom.
Yeah.
Dad ruined it, then she died, and then mom wasn't important enough to deal with for the rest of the thing. So she wouldn't know that the senile old lady wearing brocade fabric was her birth mom, shouting about hairy bushes. In the corner.
Do you think the demon princess ever found the bush?
Her dad bush?
Yeah. Like, did they ever reunite? Did the bush want her on the earth for a reason?
Was the bush at the wedding? Did the bush give her away?
Yeah, the bush. The bush handed her over.
The bush mounted to her hat or something.
There's a bush daughter dance.
I wonder, like, what is the bush's stake in anything, too? If indeed it is some kind of sentient bush.
It's full of, like, bad sorcery, apparently.
Yeah.
Its seeds are evil.
Why is it?
I'm not sure. Like, I don't know that the bush is sentient so much as the bush is a tool of the wise woman.
Did she make it? Did she grow it?
Maybe.
Are there more?
Why is there one of these? Why is there a hairy, spiky bush under an oak tree to the left of the king's garden?
If she did grow it, did she do a bad job because only the middle one had magic in it?
The middle what?
Bulb.
Well, maybe the other.
Like, ignore those other two bulbs.
Or.
Maybe the other.
Are the other two already used up?
Or do they have different, less beneficial spells?
Or different babies that are not quite what she wants in place.
Yeah, are there potentially three total?
Right. Middle bulb is evil baby. Left bulb is, like, truck.
You will give birth to a truck in 6 months.
Right bulb is snake.
Solid. Solid or liquid. Your choice.
Depends
naked.
On your diet.
Huh?
Naked.
Naked snake?
Yeah.
Is that one of them?
That is.
Is it part of fox dye or whatever?
Venom.
All right, so I'm thinking fairy and dwarf teaming up to put these, like, a demon princess and this dumb drunkard smith in place.
The only reason I don't like that is because no part of this little man is described other than his littleness.
You don't like assuming he's a yellow dwarf?
He is,
yeah,
he is
because the yellowness was very prominent before.
Maybe he also may not be dwarf little. He may just be, like, short, but not that short, or really thin or something.
What is Thumbling up to?
Yeah, it could be something. Because Thumbling was super strong, too.
Yes.
He was, yeah, so he could drag a boat and then a bigger man and push him through a window.
I just realized.
What?
You didn't call out a boat in this one.
I didn't. I was a week off.
You missed the boat.
Last week, I knew there was a boat coming. Okay, it's been a while. I'm still refining that sense.
Yeah, you got to get a
I knew there was an upcoming boat.
Okay, yes. I like Thumbling, because I feel like Thumbling would be picked up by Fairy Stock at some point.
Recruited.
Yeah.
That's a good agent to have in your ranks, I think.
He is.
A tiny but very powerful man.
Because he's not a fairy, so his stuff would not be recorded in the Fairy Book of Deeds.
Yeah.
So he'd be really good for those covert ops missions.
That's a great point. That's a good loophole.
And he would get so bored on the farm.
This man is tiny and magical, but not a fairy.
And he's full of mischief. We can use that. So we have a fairy agent planting a demon baby in a queen.
Uh-huh.
I think this is part of the tax system they got going on. This is like tax returns when the demons send a baby out.
Oh, so he is the return on a she is the return on a previous tax?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe she's just... I don't know. It doesn't say anything about, like, what does she want? Just a kingdom? I mean, it's a good goal in and of itself.
I guess.
You don't, like, need to sell me on more than that, I guess.
She's a princess, so she can't directly inherit because she's just, like, fodder.
Yeah.
But, like, the smith is not going to make a good king. Like, there's nothing in his personality presented in the story that makes him even, like, a good human. Because he can't keep a smith job in his previous town. He shows up. He gets drunk with some strangers, takes the first job offered to him, bails on that 2 hours in, like, before anything happens, or 3 hours in. You know, nothing scary's happened. He's just like, I don't want to be here anymore. Bails on it, gets forced back into it, gets drunk again. Like, he's not reliable. He's not that intelligent. He's not very clever or witty or kind.
He's kind of a husk.
Yeah.
Like he's a cocoon of a human.
Like he follows directions twice, three times, and once has to be dragged back to his workplace.
Right.
To do so.
Well, he's pushed back the other couple times.
He's done really kind of the bare minimum.
He's been forced into the bare minimum. He was working on doing less. So yeah, he's just kind of an empty husk full of alcohol.
I want to know why the little man did not help anybody else when they ran away.
Because maybe the other people had like some shred of human decency.
They were not as malleable as this little shit stain of a smith.
Right. So this blood red and milk white demon princess has taken on her human aspect again after they've tested a bunch of assholes in this place.
To find one who's shitty enough to bring her back to life.
Right. Well,
they spent 14 years trying to incubate a demon child and then the king ruined it.
Yeah. Because the nurse was provided by the fairy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A special demon nurse.
And the nurse was the only one reporting on the activities of the daughter.
What would have happened if he had waited?
We would have had a perfectly formed demon daughter and maybe some other machinations would have come in place to get her a husband, to secure her the kingdom, while she could use him as a puppet.
So the fairies were hoping for war and pestilence, and there was like a contingency plan to get one or the other.
Right.
Like if the king saw her early, like, well, at least we'll get one of these. He has to pick, though.
Well,
or we keep incubating.
Yeah. They need the incubation, and then I think they need her in power. 'Cause if you have the choice between war, pestilence, or like set someone by a box for a year, like that's the obvious choice. So it's sort of a, I forget the logical fallacy or the type of argument where, you know, you set up this level of bad and then you give something lower and it doesn't seem as bad. It's got a name. I don't remember what it is.
It's not moving the goalposts, is it?
I don't think so.
No.
I think it's like a particular setup where you've got terrible, terrible, awful. And so awful is the obvious choice.
Well, yeah, I know terrible. What you're talking about. I don't remember the name.
Yeah, so they've set the stakes so that he will definitely choose continue incubating child.
Yeah.
It's just going to take longer because the process was interrupted. But she's defo still a demon, right? Like, I think we can agree.
Were the other guards more taxes?
Yeah, just eaten, sent back to hell.
Extra taxes, quarterly.
Yeah, they were the estimated ones. We're paying a back tax.
Yeah, I still don't understand. I don't feel strongly about the motivations.
I don't either. I think we should keep a lookout for other potential demon children or bush children or whatever we want to call them.
The shrub kids.
The shrub kids. Well, we could take another look, not now, but in the future, at some of the other kids made out of weird stuff, like the fish boys. Like kids that are just grown from random crap lying around.
Yep.
And see who's suggesting this and what do they do with these powers, and see if we've got like a demon army in play against the bony daughters and the bird people.
A brand new faction.
I mean, they've been kind of a side faction for a while.
Yeah, newly main faction or whatever. I don't know.
This is a Game of Thrones level.
It's the War of Five Kingdoms. Everybody's favorite Hobbit movie.
Of the three, yeah. The humans, birds, fairies, demons, and the bonies.
I really want a sitcom about the bonies. Like a good old 90s sitcom with a laugh track.
But it's steeped in fairy tale lore.
And cosmic horror. And
cosmic horrors and sorcery. It's like the Addams Family, but...
The skinny, skeletal, lobster-handed man with bright green eyes.
Yeah.
Who just laughs all the time.
Yeah. Hit us up, Dan Harmon.
All right, I think that'll do us for the evening.
I'm good with that.
I'm happy to leave it there. I like the part where you said, not now, but later, we'll do something.
Give us your own theories on Bush Baby the Demon Princess. And thank you again to all of our patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons. Thank you to you new ones who just joined in.
And thank you, general listeners, for listening and tuning in. We've had a banner month in January.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, general listeners. Go leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined. That it seriously takes about 30 seconds, and it does help us a lot.
Thank you, reviews.
Thanks,
thank you,
reviews.
Thank you, always, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Potatoes.
Thank you, Potatoes. That's a regular rotation now.
Thank you, Thumbling.
Thank you, Thumbling.
Thank you, Thumbling.
Good one.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives Chow. Thank you, Scott Pilgrim.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, da-ha-dee-da-ha-dee-ho. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WTFolklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.